Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, we got a special guest, Dow Hill, first African American to play football for the ACC. He'll be coming on talking about his upcoming event, which is going to help so many people. Yo, the youth is what's important right now, and he is truly a man that truly wants to get it done. So you're going to look forward to hearing him in just a minute. Dow Hill will be our special guest. Before we talk about Dow Hill or have Dow Hill come on, we want to talk about the upcoming event for the caucus, the Black Caucus, the pre-caucus event. It's going to be a big one. You have to make sure that you be there. It's going to be my birthday celebration at Policy 14th and T Street. Be there on August 28th. It's going to be a time when you're going to see people that you know, people that you need to meet. It's networking. We're going to honor and make sure that people who have the black card, it's going to be a black card event. You can come with your black card and enjoy a black card way of life. The number here is 347-637-1577. Give us a call. Talk to Dow Hill. Make sure that you get involved. We'll be right back. Before we talk about Dow Hill, I definitely want to make sure that you have this information for the upcoming event at Policy, 14th and T Street, Northwest. 14th and T Street, Northwest is going to be our birthday celebration, and it's going to be an opportunity for you to celebrate not only the birthday, but celebrate businesses in the community to make sure that they have what you need and how you can do it. Up on our newsmaker line is Dow Hill. Dow Hill, you on the air?
I am here.
Fantastic, Dow Hill. It's a pleasure and an honor to have you on the airways. I'm so happy that you called in. First off, I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself and then what you have as far as your organization.
Well, I'm a native Washingtonian. I played football in college at the University of Maryland. I was the first African-American to play college sports in the Deep South. Then I went on to be a businessman, successfully sometimes, and ran and owned business ventures different parts of the world, including Russia, China, and Brazil. And now I head a foundation called Kids Play USA, which helps children with the high cost of youth sports.
The high cost of what?
Youth sports. Right now, the way the situation stands in childhood athletics, there are no more free games. There are no more pickup games. if you're a kid and you want to play a sport, you have to play on an organized team, except for maybe basketball. You have to play on an organized team, and there are expenses related to that, which of course is leaving a good portion of our kids standing on the sidelines, not able to play sports, which is a tragedy at this stage.
What does your organization do? What does your organization do, and how do they help this cause?
Well, as I said, sports come with a price tag. So we're in an era now that's dominated by commercialization in youth sports. I was watching the Little League playoffs yesterday on television, and I was noticing, how the kids were structured and well uniformed. And then I started thinking about what it costs to play baseball. And if you looked at this thing, except for a couple of teams from Chicago and from Philadelphia, most of the teams didn't have very many minority participants. And the reason for that is the cost of playing youth baseball. To play on a little league team, including participation fees, uniforms, travel expenses, coaching fees, medical exams, transportation, et cetera, it may run upwards of $2,000 a season for one child. As you can appreciate, that puts Little League Baseball out of the range of many children. So low and even some moderately income families just can't afford it. It gets worse if you have more than one kid. So our foundation now is addressing this issue. We bring attention to the issue through the public airways. We serve as advocacy in the political process. And we develop and operate programs which make sports more affordable for kids. We also work with these leagues and these teams, like the Little Leagues, to get them to try to make opportunities available for underserved kids who just can't pay those fees. Equipment for one kid to play baseball, for example, can be $500 or more. That's just out of the range of many families. So our foundation is focused on trying to get these costs down, trying to reduce the commercialization, and trying to get teams and leagues to admit underserved kids and give them opportunities to play. If you don't, what you're creating is a very volatile social situation. In our communities, we all know what happens when kids are idle and don't have anything to do. So we're pushing kids out of sports, especially low-income kids out of sports, and that's creating a potential problem. As I see it, I tell people all the time, you can spend a couple of $100 to help put a kid on the playing field, or you can spend a couple of $100,000 incarcerating that kid a little later on. And that's the facts that we're facing today. Sports are just being taken away from our children, and especially our low-income children.
That's an excellent point. Now, we're going to take a break. We've got our newsmaker line. We had Dow Hill. We come back. I want you to address how the organization will take these funds and how the kids qualify for the funds. We'll be right back with Dow Hill on our newsmaker line. This is the Russell Price Morning Show. It's all about you. Welcome back. We're talking to Dow Hill. He has an organization that is going to help youth with sports. And as you heard him earlier, it's a crisis now about our youth not being able to play sports because of the economical aspect of it, the money. Tell us, Dow, how your organization is giving this money to the youth, and how does the particular youth qualify to get the money?
Okay. Well, we don't work directly with youth. What we do is we partner with a variety of different existing youth organizations and help them help the youth. So, for example, the Mosier Baseball League in Baltimore, we help them by providing equipment for the kids to play in their league. So we provide baseball equipment, bats, balls, gloves, shoes, uniforms, etc. So the way the kids benefit is through the league, not directly from us. We also work with numerous organizations around the region in the same fashion. We have programs in Frederick, in Rockville, in Montgomery County, and we do a number of things. The other things that we do is we create opportunities and leagues for kids to play. So in Prince George's County, for example, we're looking toward creating a lacrosse academy to get more kids exposed and involved in the sport of lacrosse. Then we will work with establishment of new lacrosse teams, and we'll help the existing lacrosse teams. We're also looking to do in D.C. and in also in suburban areas immediately surrounding D.C. the same thing with volleyball. So we create volleyball programs. We create volleyball clinics and leagues. The first task is to get the kids interested, and the next task is to get them trained, and the third job is to get them on the field playing the sport. I think our kids, especially African-American kids and inner-city kids, have focused a great deal of attention on basketball and football, but there are other opportunities in sports out there. So if kids are looking to make a career in sports or to get scholarships, college scholarships, for example, in sports, we need to broaden their horizons so that they're taking a look and an opportunity for all the sports, not just football and basketball. So we work with football and basketball, but we also work to help kids play baseball, lacrosse, volleyball, swimming and diving, track and field, and other, and field hockey, wrestling, and a number of other sports. So the way kids benefit from us are through the programs that we support and help, not directly from us.
Very good point. And that's good what you talked about, other aspects of sporting, because most youth do not know that there's more than basketball and football. We're going to take another break. When you come back, I want you to get the name of your organization, your website, and how to get in touch with you. We're talking to Dow Hill. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's the Russell Price Morning Show. It's all about you. On our newsmaker line, we have Dow Hill, the first African-American to play football for college. It's a pleasure and an honor to have him, but he's gone beyond what he has done. He's now putting together what he can do for our upcoming youth who are athletic and can benefit from playing sports. Give us your organization's name, website, and phone number, Dow.
The name of the organization is Kids Play USA Foundation. The web address is www.kidsplayusafoundation.org. Our phone number is 240-456-0202. I need to mention that we're having our annual sporting gala. It's a luau fest that is held every year. This year it's going to be in College Park, and it's in to support the kids in the programs that we run. It's on September 20th, and it's going to be at the Junior Tennis Championship Center, which is in College Park. It's going to be a great event with Polynesian roasted pig and Chesapeake seafood. There's going to be music and games and fun and lots to do. a few stars to shake hands with, and lots of giveaways for the youngsters. So you can get information on that event by going to our website, www.kidsplayusafoundation.org. The phone number again is 240-456-0202. And when you get on the event, you can click on the tab for events, and you'll see Luau Fest. That's where you can arrange to attend.
What about the ticket price? How much does it cost to attend this event?
Well, all you can eat and drink, $45 for an adult, $20 for kids. And
excellent price.
Yes, I think it's a good deal, and these funds will help our kids and our programs tremendously. So I encourage everybody to come out and not only have a good time, but support what we're doing.
Be There Magazine will be there. We will be covering this event exclusively. It's such a worthwhile event, and it's going to do such good for the community. I want to commend you, Darrell Hill, for taking the time to even think about doing this. How did you come up with the idea, and what totally inspired you to do this?
Well, one day about 3 years ago, a friend of mine who lives in Loudoun County, Virginia, mentioned that her son had a buddy but couldn't play on one of the baseball leagues in Loudoun County because his parents couldn't afford the $700 entry fee that it cost to play on this particular team. It occurred to me there was something wrong with that picture. So I started looking closely into it, and I found out that almost all youth sports, except maybe basketball, come with a price tag, and that more and more kids are being left out because of that. So I started looking at baseball in the area. Then I looked at lacrosse and some sports like volleyball. Lacrosse are into the thousands. I met one family with two girls, and the father told me he spent $10,000 a year on his kids in sports. That's just an outrageous number. You can see what's happening in the world, you know, in our universe, with kids being left out because of money. So that's what got me started. And then I thought that, you know, with the little name recognition that I might have and entree, that I could do something to make this reverse itself. And I'm proud to say that we've made great inroads, and we're getting things done in that regard and getting more and more and more kids back on the playing field where they belong.
Fantastic. We're going to take another break down, but come back. I want you to talk about yourself a little bit, because the importance of who you actually are, not only the organization and what you're doing, but what inspired you as a young man to even have the insight to play sports, and how was it to become the first Black to play sports? We'll be right back with Darrell Hill. Welcome back. On our Newsmaker line, we have Darrell Hill, who is not only a individual who is helping and doing something positive for our youth and making a difference in the DMV. His own life has made a difference in sports. How did you have the fortitude, the intuition, the aspect of playing sports when you were young, but also breaking a color barrier? How difficult was that, and what inspired you to even continue to finish it? Darrell Hill.
Well, I kind of backed into it, I guess, Russell. I'm a native Washingtonian. I attended Gonzaga High School, so I was one of the first black athletes to play at Gonzaga. I was the only black player on the football team at the time. And then I wound up at the United States Naval Academy. Not because I wanted to go. I think it was because my parents were really interested in my being a midshipman. So I went, and I wound up playing football on at Navy, along with a pretty good football player who became the scourge of the Redskins later in life. I talked to him the other day, Roger Staubach. So Roger, I said, you went to Dallas and plagued my skins all these years. But anyway, Roger and I played together at Navy. Then I transferred from Navy and wound up at Maryland University. And at that time, there were no black athletes playing varsity sports in the South for any major university. So that included all the schools in the Atlantic Coast mm-hmm. Conference, the Southeastern Conference, and what now is the Big 12 Conference. Blacks weren't allowed to play in the South. So Maryland decided that they were going to put me forward as the first African-American to play sports in the Deep South. So that's how that evolved, and I wound up playing during the 60s for Maryland, and it was quite an experience down in the South, as you can imagine. At the same time that I was trying to integrate athletics, many of our black students were trying to integrate the same universities. I can remember going to Clemson University, and they were trying to admit black students, and the National Guard was on campus at the same time that, you know, I arrived down to Clemson University to play a football game. So it was a merry-go-round, but it was a lot of fun, and I don't think I had that in mind necessarily when I started in school. It just, you know, came by a series of circumstances. Certainly proud of, you know, what I was able to do. After that, I went into the business world and sort of continued my direction of being a groundbreaker. I got involved early on in the 70s in the minority business development business, and I directed the Greater Washington Business Center, which was responsible for developing minority business enterprise in this region. And during that process, I learned a lot, and eventually then went into the green energy business in the 80s, sort of one of the early guys, pioneers in that whole idea, and I had a large company based in Oakland, California, called Pacific Energy Corporation. And by and by, I wound up doing business in Russia. So I bought a timber company. I bought a number of companies in Russia, but I wound up with a timber company in the middle of Siberia, which we would need a whole new show, Russell, to talk about that story. But it was quite an adventure. And then I had a joint venture in the paperboard packaging business in China, and I was building roads in Nigeria, and I was in the timber business in Brazil. So I've been around, and I've had a great time. So I've tried to translate all of these business experience and whatever recognition I may have in the local region to helping kids with their sports. So that's how I wound up with Kids Play USA.
Kids Play is truly something that you're going to not only, what I call, help so many youth, but it's something that you can use all your expertise with. You mentioned that you were in the Naval Academy. To be in the Naval Academy back in the day, you had to be an exceptional African-American. The Naval Academy is the epitome of one of the services, the Air Force Academy, Naval Academy, West Point. Those particular aspects of military took nothing but the elite. You, Darryl, had to be an exceptional African-American to be in the Naval Academy back in the 60s. I mean, how were you chosen to be in the Naval Academy? Did you take a test? Did they pick you? How did you get into the Naval Academy?
Well, that's an interesting story. As I said, my parents were interested in it, and I graduated from high school. I was only 16, so I was too young to go to a military academy. So I went off to Xavier University in Cincinnati, played football. And then one day my mother called me and said, look, if I can get you an appointment to Naval Academy, will you go? And it was like April, and I knew the appointments had long closed in January. And at that time, Naval Academy was very elite. It was, you know, before the war and Vietnam got cranked up. And so it was very difficult to get into it. And as a matter of fact, there were only 12 African Americans out of 4,000 midshipmen when I was there. That's a small number. So one day I said, sure, you know, Mom, I'll go. And then about a couple of weeks later, my roommate comes running up and he says, he got a letter from President Kennedy. I said, okay. And I opened the letter that said, congratulations, you've been appointed a midshipman at the U.S. Naval Academy. So I don't know how it all happened. I suspect that my mother got in touch with the football department and they worked it out, because I wound up getting an appointment to the academy from a congressman in Chicago, Dawson, Charles Dawson, who was a black congressman out of Chicago. I'd never even been to Chicago. And, you know, they gave me an address, 123 Peach Street, Chicago, and there I was. So, you know, how it all happened, I'm still kind of guessing at it, but I think, you know, the football department was involved, because when we got there, and as I mentioned, Staubach was there, you know, Staubach and I wound up being on the first team, and I don't, before practice even started, so they knew something. So that's how that happened. But I got to say that
Because to be an African American back in the day, and to be accepted to the Naval Academy was exceptional. You have to realize that that was not an everyday situation. And then for you to be able to parlay that into your future, to where you're at today, the businesses, the business savvy, to have the business to do stuff internationally, where did that come from? How did you have the foresight to do business internationally? People are just trying to do business locally. How did you get to be doing business internationally?
Well, you know, I came from a family of businessmen. My father was an entrepreneur, and both my grandfathers and my great-grandfathers. So I guess it was in the blood to be an entrepreneur. None of the men in my family on either side ever had a job, so they were all businessmen. I went to Russia one day, you know, because just to look around when the Iron Curtain came down, a friend of mine said, let's go to Russia, and we went to Eastern Europe and looked around, and then we wanted to see what communism was like, what it was like before it got westernized. So then we went to Russia, and Russia was like a big candy store. It was as if everybody, if one man owned every business in the United States, every single business, aeronautics, automotives, mining, insurance, down to the local restaurants. And one day he stood up on top of the Washington Monument and said, it's all for sale. Make me an offer. That's what happened in Russia. The communist government owned all the businesses. There were no privately owned businesses, and then they put it all on the market at once. So it was like fun for me. I was running around buying businesses. You could buy a business for the price of working capital and keep it open. So I bought optical business. I bought helicopter parts business, timber business. I was buying them and selling them. And who knows? It was just a fun thing to do. Didn't get rich at it, but I had a good time.
Just the experience to be able to do it. I want you to give us some closing statements. This has been a real pleasure having you on the air today. And what we're going to do is make sure this is on the air, and it's also in the archives, so you can hear it anytime you want. We're looking forward to definitely covering the event on September 20th, and also just blasting this to get it and understand it. But give us your closing statements.
Well, my closing statement is, we have to make sports available to all our children. Sports are too important to the development of not only of our children, but to the development of our communities. And if we don't make it so that every kid that wants to play can play, then we're depriving them of opportunities, and we're in a position to damage our own community aspects. So the idea is level the playing field, and that's what our foundation does. Kids Play USA. We're leveling the playing field, and we need your help and support. So go on our website and help us and come out to our event.
Give us the website and the phone number again.
The website is www.kidsplayusafoundation.org. And the phone number is 240-456-0202. Call us anytime. Go on our website. Call me personally. We're all here to help. Everybody's available. And we certainly would like to get each and every one of you listeners involved.
Fantastic. This has been the Russell Price Morning Show. It's all about you. See you tomorrow morning.